Where are we in our understanding of side effects and complications from these therapies?
That's a most important question. What are the toxicities of bisphosphonates? Well, they're pretty well tolerated compared to many chemotherapeutic agents that we routinely use. The major side effects that have been seen with bisphosphonates can be broken into two groups of side effects. The first are the so-called acute phase reactions, so that we know within 24 or 48 hours of administering an intravenous bisphosphonate, maybe a third to a half of the patients will experience an increase in temperature, low-grade fever, which is usually self-limited and treated easily with Tylenol. A number of patients will have exacerbation of bone pain, so they'll have arthralgias and increasing pain and treated with narcotics, and they usually diminish over, as I said, 24 to 48 hours. They're usually associated with the first dose of bisphosphonates, so on subsequent doses, second, third, fourth dosage, you don't see them as much. And the reason for the acute phase reaction has been worked out by some lovely biochemical work of Mike Rogers in England and several other investigators, and it looks like bisphosphonates, through their inhibition of the mevalonate pathway, can increase the number of gamma delta T cells, and that causes outpouring of cytokines from the gamma delta T cells, and that causes the acute phase reaction. Now, there are some other longer-term side effects that are more serious. So we know that all bisphosphonates that are given in a high enough dose over a shorter and shorter period of infusion will cause renal toxicity. They'll cause glomerular tubular damage, depending on which bisphosphonate one uses. So we've learned that you need to do renal monitoring every month before a bisphosphonate dose. The label of zoledronic acid says that you ought not to give a bisphosphonate for creatinine above 3 or significant decrease in urine creatinine clearance, and I think that's now routinely done in clinical practice. The usage of higher doses of zoledronic acid, up to 8 milligrams every month, was cut short because of renal toxicity when given over a short period of time, so we don't do that anymore. The third complication, which has gotten a lot of press recently, is the incidence of osteonecrosis of the jaw, which was not previously recognized with oral bisphosphonates, although it does occur at a low rate with oral bisphosphonates for osteoporosis. And it was not recognized in the 3,000 patients' large phase 3 studies of zoledronic acid, and it certainly was not recognized in the database with pimidronate. It was recognized in 2003 by two oral surgeons, Bob Marks in Miami and Dr. Ruggiero at Long Island Jewish Hospital. They, in their oral surgical practices, had an influx of patients with ONJ and reported this in the literature. Now, what we know about osteonecrosis of the jaw is from two large retrospective studies. The first one done at Sloan Kettering by Kathy Van Posnock. She went through, I believe, 600 records at Sloan Kettering of ONJ in patients treated with bisphosphonates, and she found an incidence of ONJ in the order of 0.6% in people. The average duration of bisphosphonate use in that retrospective study was on the order of 52 months. There's been some recent data from Ann Hoff at MD Anderson that was reported this spring. Again, a retrospective review of the data from MD Anderson Hospital, over 4,000 patients. And there, the incidence of ONJ was 0.8% overall. It was on the order of 1% for breast cancer patients. It seems to be slightly higher in multiple myeloma patients, and the Anderson experience was on the order of 2%, again, with long-term uses. The outlier in terms of incidence is from Professor Demopoulos in Greece, who reports in the Greek experience an incidence of ONJ around 7 or 8%. I think in this country, the incidence is probably around 1%. We've now learned that it's a real phenomenon. It's probably associated with bisphosphonate usage. It's probably associated with zoledronic acid use. It appears to be more common the longer you use the drug, but it's still in the order of 1%. People are required to have a good dental examination before institution of bisphosphonate therapy. If they need dental surgery, get it done before you start a bisphosphonate. If a patient requires dental surgery on the bisphosphonate, we don't know how long to stop it, but most of us are stopping it 1 or 2 months before the dental surgery and then reinstituting it when the dental surgery has healed. Decision that the individual physician needs to make is you need to weigh the significant benefit of bisphosphonates in terms of close to a 50% decrease in the risk of an SRE versus the 1% risk of ONJ. Right now, we have good data out to 2 years with use of bisphosphonates. We don't have clinical trials of the use of bisphosphonate beyond 2 years, so it becomes an individual patient decision. What I do personally is if I have a patient who's at high risk with extensive amount of bone disease and has had significant SREs in the past, then I might continue the bisphosphonate beyond the 2 years. If not, I think it's up to the individual doctors to decide what to do at that point.